Hello and welcome to episode 187 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Casey Gibson, and joining me this fine evening, I'm going to go with evening, it's the one, it's the only, he husks a whole bunch of corn, it's Perry Burkham.
You know, I was having a lot of fun this last week playing Miles and Kilo on my 3DS in stereoscopic 3D at 60 frames per second, and I was thinking, you know what would be really fun?
I don't know. What's that, Jerry?
It would be fun to play this on the PlayStation Vita for some reason. I was thinking, you know, I have played like three games on the Vita. Wouldn't it be cool if this released on the Vita? And even then, if it came out in physical form with both Miles and Kilo and Kid Trip on the same cartridge?
The old two for one?
Yep. Now, what I'm trying to say is I bought the thing.
And you're a big curveball? Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it hasn't come in the mail yet, so I'm waiting for it. But I thought the next best thing would be, what if we had Mick on the podcast to talk about the whole adventure and whatnot and maybe play a game?
I'd say that'd be a horrible... Oh, wait. Hey, Mick.
Oh!
Hey, hi there.
Yeah, Casey.
The one and only Mick Waits. Well, how's it going, man?
Yeah.
What was that what you just saying as I came in there? I didn't quite catch it.
Oh, nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. It's funny because I have surprised Casey with surprise guests before. Like, he didn't even know. And then I'll add him to the call. Like, and it has been fun. But anyway, no. He knew. Everyone knew. Mick, we've been planning this for a couple days now. It hasn't been that long. But yeah. So Mick's here. Last time we talked to him, I think, was when he announced the 3DS, or maybe it was a couple times, the 3DS port of Miles and Kilo. Maybe you've been on again since then, but anyway,
I don't think it's out.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's been a long time.
Out now. We did a sweet giveaway, and we are giving away those codes. Like probably while I'm talking here, I'll be giving away to people. But Miles and Kilo, baby, on the 3DS, where it should have been all along.
I agree that stereoscopic 3D instantly makes it 4% better.
Oh, yeah. You might say 4% isn't that much, but when you think about it, that's a big leap right there. No, it is. It's so funny how towards the end of the life cycle for the 3DS, like, developers and even Nintendo just abandoned the 3D. It's like, what are you guys doing? It literally is like, it's a game changer. And I know it bothers some people's eyes and stuff, but man, for me, there is nothing better than playing with that slider all the way up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't get my son into doing that yet. He still plays in 2D, which I just...
I don't know. I mean,
fortunately, that's where
the good old days. You know what's amazing? What's actually amazing, if you think about it? I will not lie. I remember the good old 3DS headache days. I mean, And it's funny because I even with Mutant Muds, which ironically is very much like a Virtual Boy game, like Wario Land, Virtual Boy Wario Land, which ironically gave you headaches. So it's kind of funny how that came full circle.
But weak.
Like that original, well, you never got those headaches like from the original games that were super intense with 3D, and they kind of figured out how to.
I've got a dome of steel, Perry.
You sure do have a dome of steel. That's probably the only way I'd put it. And it's just purely steel.
Nothing else in there, just a big hunk of steel.
Yeah, but I just remember those days, and so it's kind of funny. So I can see if people maybe at first started playing with the 3D, and then they like, this actually kind of hurts after a while. I remember, like, honestly putting the thing down and being like, like, you know, like putting my palms on my forehead and stuff. And it was fun, and it was worth it. It totally was worth it.
And
like,
it
Pilot
was
Wings,
fun.
Pilot Wings Resort was worth the headache that I got.
Dude,
after
that, so
after
much.
2 hours.
That was the best.
I love that game.
$3 I've ever spent in my entire life.
Oh, did you get that for $3?
For like $3. It was amazing.
I remember. Okay, so I'm just going to say this because I think we just hit the 3DS. We just passed like the 9 year or the 10 year?
Hey, something like that. That's a long time.
9 year.
2011. Yeah.
Yeah. So wow. 9 years. So, that was to me the absolute most hyped, console launch of my life, for sure. Since then and before then, I remember I couldn't sleep the night before. And I remember I went to Toys R Us because they had a deal, a really good deal, on 3DS games where if you buy one, you get one half off on the launch day. So I remember I went to GameStop, and then I went to Toys R Us, and I got Pilot Wings and Steel Diver. And so, but those were both $40 a piece, which is amazing. But obviously one of them was half off, so it was $20. So I remember going home, playing those games to death. Oh, what a great time. And it's funny to think that was like almost a decade ago, like a different era of my life before I was married, just completely different. And now, you know, we have Mick here who just released another 3DS game. Like, that's amazing if you think about it. Like, that's a long system.
It is. I'd like it to keep going as well. Although I'd like people to still be buying games for it. That'd be even better. But you know, having said that, there's still people every week buy copies of Digger Dandy X on 3DS.
That's amazing.
It is. Even when it's not on sale. I mean, obviously sales do boost the figures. But even when it's not on sale, it might be like just a trickle, maybe one a day. But that game launched 4 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
And like you said, now that the Switch is the main squeeze for Nintendo, it's sort of like the 3DS is, you know, left in the dust, if you will. So definitely still cool that people are digging into the eShop and finding some cool, you know, some cool games in there.
Yeah, when Miles and Kilo launched, I looked, the latest release before that was a month before. So, yeah, it's not like there's any new games on there, but people still go back and check the eShop, which is great from my point of view. That's great.
Oh, it's so fun to check because the music and everything is like in a it's like dicka dicka dick, you know, I go through all that stuff. And do you remember when the 3DS launched? It didn't even have an eShop. Do you remember that? And it had a big update for the eShop.
I do, yeah.
Like
I mean,
month later.
I tell you
fortunately, it didn't make us wait too long.
Yeah.
I was going to say, for me, the 3DS was like the least hyped console launch of my life. Because it was sort of, I just graduated college. If I remember correctly, it came out in like March or something, right? It was the early part.
It was like April 6th.
Was that it? Okay.
You know, it was like this last week. It was like the same part of where we are now. I think it literally was like 9 years ago.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say, yeah.
Something
I
like
remember,
that, because it was before my brother got married.
Yeah, I remember it was, you know, it was when I was still in school, so I graduated, and then, like, I remember just one day, I was like, man, I really feel like playing Ocarina of Time. I was like, I guess I'll just go buy a 3DS, you know? And then I went down, and then they didn't have Ocarina of Time.
Are you serious? So you, so you didn't even get it at launch?
Nope, I got it in June. So, you know, not...
Leave.
Not,
get off the podcast. Mick?
Yeah.
Mick, you're the new co-host.
New host.
Hey, I'm still an ambassador. So I was still early in the going.
Oh, were you? Okay. Yeah. Oh, that counts. As long as... Yeah. We don't let people
launch
who aren't
window.
Nintendo 3DS ambassadors. Ambassador, what a great... Remember that? Do you remember that news? I mean, that was like the second like news was like, oh my goodness! Because I didn't care about the price, even though think about it, it was $250. Wow, I can't believe that's $250. Like the Switch is $300.
I was gonna say $50 cheaper than.
The Switch Lite. The Switch Lite's $199. Think about the difference there. The original launch 3DS. I remember when they announced when they're like, hey. The 3DS is getting a price drop to $179, $169, something like that. And also, people who bought it before, you're getting 10 GBA games and 10 NES games. And that was like the most exciting day of my life. I was like,
those,
10
those
GBA
games
like
are pretty ghetto, too. Like, as far as how they work on the 3DS.
The functionality.
Know? Like, you need to, like, completely hard... like reset when you're done playing, you know, like I don't think you could just like hit the home button and go back.
Yeah, but it was totally worth it.
Oh,
totally
no. I mean, like you said, I wasn't complaining. I'd already dropped the cabbage, so it was like, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, to get those extra bonus games, I'm like, well, I don't mind if I do.
Yeah. So it's just a fun system. So it's really cool, Mick, that you're that I'm so glad that Miles
keeping
and Kilo
alive,
got to
baby.
Come out. Even just selfishly, if it was just for my enjoyment, just mine. Because I appreciate it.
He is a selfish boy.
But we all know. We all know you didn't do the 3DS release to make piles of money.
No. I did the 3DS release because it was there.
Because
like the guy who climbed the mountain.
For the fans, baby. Yeah.
You climbed Mount Everest. I'm trying to think of a good pun for Nintendo, but I can't think of one.
Mount Fuji.
Anyway, there you go. That's it. Yeah, Mount Fuji. There you go. So we're going to play a round of Mystery History with Mick. He has prepared something for us. Last time he did it, it was crazy and introduced me to a really, really fun game that I'd never known about, actually. But so we'll see what happens today. But before that, I thought we'd talk about what we've been playing. And I've been playing a little bit more. Do you mind if I go first?
Well, I mean, Casey? As you're walking out the door, why don't you, Perry?
Okay. Well, I thought...
Actually,
it pertains...
I'm going to go. No.
Okay, go ahead.
I kid.
I've been playing, of course, a little bit more Animal Crossing. So, yes. Animal Crossing. Mick, have you played Animal Crossing?
Not since the DS days, I'm afraid to say.
Okay, sure.
Jive with it?
Say that again?
Does it just not jive with you, or?
I got into the DS one quite heavily, but at the time I was working in a job where I spent sort of 50% of my time in a car being driven to a particular destination. So we played, I think, 10,000 games of Mario Kart on the DS.
Heck yes.
Of which I won 9,000.
That's a pretty good rate.
Of course.
Well, I was against amateurs mostly. And then I got Animal Crossing during that time as well. And I put many, many hours into it. And I was very meticulous with digging up the weeds and the like, as much as I can remember the game. And then sort of thought at the end, I don't really want to sink that much time into another game in the future. So I've not really been drawn to them, particularly home console versions. So I'm afraid not. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I did enjoy it, but there's just not enough time in the world for me to...
I know what you mean.
...to get into that.
Well, that's funny because that's actually getting into my point for how I've been playing it, which has been totally, like, relaxed and just chill, like, when I can. It's the exact opposite of my wife, who has been playing it. Seriously, we did the math like after 10 days, because it was like, because I checked it and she had played it over 85 hours.
Ah.
And I looked at the math and that was over 7 hours a day. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe. And of course, a big part of it is because of the, you know, she's
well,
not
there's
working
ample
of the
time
epidemic,
yeah,
and stuff.
to play games.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. That's part of it, of course, and it's totally cool. But I was
what
like,
you're
whoa!
Trying to say,
and
she's
I checked
a nerd.
Mine was just at 20. It's total nerd. But I, you know, I was only at like 20 or something, you know. So and since then, so she's been kind of going way ahead of me, and it's kind of been fun to do that and to see like kind of what's coming, and then just kind of take it at my own pace, which has been a lot of fun, and it's just really, really relaxing. Like it's just so fun to have that you know, get up and just, if you just want to walk around and just really not do anything, you can, and it's fun. And then usually I'm having a conversation with like a buddy online, and we're playing and we're hanging out, and it's awesome. It's amazing. I don't know, I'm really digging it. And one thing that was like incredibly exciting that happened last night, actually, and which was, it was like 1 a.m., okay? And my friend Nick Bray, who's been on the show, who's he's on NWR and down in Australia. That's why it was 1 a.m., because it has to be the opposite times when we can talk to each other. he was asking me like during like earlier in the day, like, hey, what are your turnips selling for? Which I've seen these people that are like, hey man, hey, what's your turnips selling for? I gotta sell, you know, like a lot of people are like that, and I get it. It's like the stocks, you know, once you get invested, you gotta check them every day and check everyone's. And so I checked and mine was like 103 or something stupid, you know. And so He got back to me later. He's like, "Oh, actually, my wife's sister's was like 617.
Dang.
They were selling for 617 bells, and I was like, "Whoa." So I was like, "Can I get in on that action?" You know, and it's funny because Nick, he told me that he put in a 1.2. He had bought 1.2 million worth of turnips that week. So he made like four or five trips selling, and he said that he tipped her a million bells. That's how much money he got. So I went over and
I tipped him 100 bells.
they let Jill and me and Jules, and I was going to ask you, I was going to tell you if you're up, but you hadn't answered my last text. So I was like, he's probably sleeping. we went over there and I made like, I made like a million, like 300 or something. And then Jill made like twice that. And then Jules made like 600,000 bells. And it was just really like wacko and fun. And it's like, let's go to Australia and let's do this. And then we came back and it was like, I'm paying off my house. And it was just really fun. And just kind of,
you went down under broke, but you came back rich the other side.
Exactly. So, that was a lot of fun and just kind of wacko. And it's funny because I've been seeing stuff on Twitter because this is the first Animal Crossing game that's come out since I've been on Twitter, which is a lot of games that have come out. That's the first Twitter games. And so there's so many. I saw this article explaining the like four different patterns of turnip prices and how they fluctuate. There's like. Yes. Like, and if you take this, like if you take what they're selling for or what they're buying for, I guess, whatever, on Monday and Tuesday and then divide them by two and do this and this, then it's ridiculous. And then if it like over the days, if it gets worse, like over 2 days, then you want to sell early. But if it, you know, it will
all
triple
these crazy
or something.
It'll get
all these algorithms. Yeah. So it's just amazing. And I just, that kind of stuff is hilarious because it's Animal Crossing. And what's funny about it, it's like when it gets down to it, what are the bells for? To pay off your house. What are you paying off your house for? To put stuff in it.
Get bigger.
You know? It's like to get bigger, stupid. Yeah. You know, it's like, well, and then what? And well, I'm going to decorate stuff. And it's like, okay, like I guess it all makes sense. It's just, it's such a wacky tabacky. It's a wacky tabacky game. So,
well, I was going to say, to go alongside your turnip story, I bought, like you said, I'm sort of playing pretty casually too. I'm not sitting there for hours on end trying to fish with the sole purpose, like I'm going to pay off my house.
You're not
today,
jilling.
You know? Yeah, I'm not jilling.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been, you know, having a blast with it, slowly paying off things, slowly, you know, adding, you know, inclines and bridges to my town and all that. But last week I bought, you know, a decent amount of turnips, you know, nowhere near the load that I've seen some people do. But, you know, I think I bought like, you know, like, I think it was like a modest, like 30K worth, you know, nothing too crazy.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I haven't hoarded money. Like when I get bells in, it's usually I'm trying to buy stuff to grow my catalog or just, you know, like I said, sort of the town's, function or works or whatever you want to call them, like the bridges and stuff. But I ended up waiting it out, and I'd bought, you know, I think the buying price was like 100-ish, give or take, you know, whatever. And man, on the weekend it was looking putrid, boys. It was like 50.
Oh man, you asked me, remember? And it was like I think I even asked Jules, and it was like something like 20 something.
Yeah, there were like Sandy. I was asking everyone horrible prices all over the board. But I put the call out on Twitter, and our boy Jason Lee stepped up big time. He messaged me. He was like, "Hey man, like they're going for like 200 and I forget the exact. It was like 260 or two. It was well over double. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, like dude, please, like that would be amazing. So
please, please, I needs it.
Because I was like getting ready to be like, well, I'm just gonna eat it here, right? Like, essentially, I'm going to just sell whatever, you know, obviously, any money is better than no money, so, but then, yeah, Jason, I was like, oh, I love you, dude, thank you, and then I went there, and I made my bank, but, yeah, I'm, I've been enjoying it, dude. It like you said, it's I'm not playing hours on end, but I'm playing enough, and I think there was only one day I did not play. I fell asleep like super early. I think it was like a long day of work. I ate a bunch of pizza and passed out on the couch, and then that was like the only day I didn't play. But otherwise, yeah, I've been checking in daily, and you know when I have a chance, because Caitlin is full on obsessed. She's hit the point that she's obsessed.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Which I think it shows you, right? It's definitely the most like girl appreciated game. I think that that I've played. Like in my like, I guess just with Jill in general, it's definitely like she hasn't been that involved in. I mean, some games stand out. Like I guess you know, like Kingdom and stuff like games that we like to play together. Funnily enough, Sudoku, if I may mention that one more time, we've started playing that at night. We just kind of play one together. It's kind of fun, but yeah, it's definitely a feminine game a lot as much as it is like a masculine game, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think the. Yeah, I think if you look at the demographic, I don't know if it skews in favor of, like, you know, girls to boys, but it's definitely probably the most even, especially out of, the Nintendo-published games, you know. But, yeah, Caitlin, she's not a huge gamer. She really liked Tomodachi Life. That's, like, her the other one she played a whole bunch of, which is, you know, sort of similar. I mean, not similar, but similar, you know what I mean? I feel like... The same vein of sort of like simulations, some weird things going on and all that stuff. But yeah, she's been loving it. And we've been sharing our town out. So no, it's definitely been a blast. And, I look forward to seeing how these other, sort of events work out. Obviously the Easter egg one is sort of annoying because the eggs are everywhere. But, I actually think that the new patch sort of reduced the number of all these eggs. So I think...
did they really?
Yeah, because I think people...
That's amazing.
Especially with fishing. I think fishing was the really bad one, where they were getting, like, really, like, the number of fish to eggs, like, it was a real bad ratio, you know? So I'm pretty sure that that the patch sort of fixed that up, which is good because that's, like, the best way to make money, right? So it's, like, sort of annoying when it's like, nope, half of them end up being eggs, especially since it's time-consuming. It's not like you're just shaking a tree, an egg pops out, whatever. It's like, oh, you're waiting to catch this fish, you know, kind of thing. But
well, and it uses up your disposable tools.
Yeah, my dang old tools are breaking.
Yeah, and, oh, man, Jill and Jules are so over it. It's funny because I'm not playing so much, so I don't really care that much. But, oh, my goodness, they're like, they hate the eggs. It's hilarious.
Oh, just the memes all over the place are pretty funny.
Yeah. Actually, I haven't seen any of those. I need to search for those.
I guess you're not dank.
I am not dank.
Nope. You're a loser.
Anyway. Anyway, so let's get to another game that we've been playing, or that you've been playing, Cassidy.
Yeah, it is a... I will say this is the utmost early impressions you could possibly get. But I have been playing Exit.
Hot takes is what you're saying.
Yeah, so I was actually lucky enough to receive this game, actually. And the thing is, I got it a couple weeks ago in my email, and I just, with what the busyness, it sort of got lost in the shuffle. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, we were just talking about this game, you know, like, how cool it looked, and, like, I'd like to check it out. And here it is, you know? So,
there it is, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, awesome, like, I'm definitely looking forward to playing this. And... like I said, I went through the tutorial last night and did like one run. So like I said, very, very early. But it's cool because, you know, you've got your dodge, right? Which in a roguelike twin stick shooter is pretty darn important. But what this is, obviously it's very important too, but you can jump and dive and you can sort of do that. But even when you drop down, because this is 2D, right? So... You're going to do some platforming, but if you're on a platform and you just you know how you could just sort of drop down from any given platform in pretty much any platformer in the world? When you do that, you're invincible also. So that turns, you know, from being just a way to traverse the area to being something you can actually throw in the arsenal as a defensive move, you know, like, oh, I got a lot of stuff coming at me. I'm just going to drop down, you know, and that's going to give me some vulnerability, which is, you know, going to be very, very good because, as I said, I've only really played one run of this, and already off the bat, it is a bullet hell, you know, like there are a lot of projectiles all over the screen, so dashing around is very, very important. And like I said, again, very early, so I'm still sort of getting used to the movement of jumping and dodging and rolling through all these things, but it seems like it's going to be really fun. It seems like it has that sort of, you know, one more, you know, and then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. 2 hours later. And the one power-up I got, it just switched my gun, like, periodically. So, it was sort of cool to get, like, a smorgasbord of different
guns. I think that's the
guns.
Whole game.
Oh, is it always changing?
I think that's the whole game. Yes.
Okay. Well, then that's, yeah, all right, that's interesting. I thought maybe that was just, like, the power-up I got that time was, hey, you're just going to continuously change your gun. But if that's the case, mm-hmm. that is definitely interesting because, I mean, you've played roguelikes. You know how this works. Guns, they feel drastically different from one another, you know? Like, some are going to require mm-hmm. you to really hammer an enemy with a bunch of bullets where, like, one, you know, another gun might be, hey, it's going to be sort of a slow attacking thing, but it's going to, you know, if it hits it's over, you know, kind of thing. So,
right.
I'm definitely enjoying it so far. I love the aesthetic of, you know, Gungeon, you know, obviously all the guns and the bullets and everything.
It's so juicy.
It's very cute and cool. And, I will definitely be talking more about this next week when I can really sink my teeth into it and give you guys more of an earnest opinion on it. But like I said, the early goings definitely seems like the groundwork is there for what could be a really fun game.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me. Yeah. I definitely want to pick this game up. I wonder if they'll do like a physical version. It's weird because it's like a spinoff and I think it's only $10.
Yep. And so for you, like, it could be for free.
That's right, because we share the same thing. Never mind. I'm damn downloading it.
You big pickle brain.
I'm a big pickle brain. Very cool. Yeah, I'd like to hear some more thoughts on that. So let me know. And then I'll see if it's worth downloading it by your next week's impressions. Now, for the main entree. Now, it's a well-known fact that Mick does not actually play video games. He just codes them and creates them and releases them. So, and he also plays games about video games, but he doesn't actually play video games. Like, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
He's like, shut up, Jerry.
But we will play some Mystery History.
Mystery History.
Ooh-wee.
That's right. And rarely does someone else do a mystery history for us. It's really a treat to have you here, Mick.
Well, second time treat then since I gave you that I'm trying to remember the title of it. It's I'm thinking Space Station Silicon Valley, but is that the original title? Yes, it was. Yeah, because I knew it had two titles because, like I say, when we did the PlayStation version, we retitled it to Evo Space Adventures. So yeah, I was just grappling for which one was actually the original title. Anyway, enough rambling.
Right. Right. So, Casey, do you want to explain what the game is for all the new listeners?
Well,
for the hundreds of new listeners?
Yes. Mystery History. It is a little game we like to play around here, similar to 20 questions, right? But there's only 15 questions, and after each set of five, there's a hint that will sort of help. Usually we like it to help, but sometimes it throws you off. But the idea is it sort of gives you a hint of what the game is, and the first one's the most vague. You know, after 10 questions, you get one that's a little more. And then usually the last hint is, you know, doesn't necessarily throw the answer out there for you, but gives you a good nudge in the right direction if you're sort of completely lost. And of course, this can range anywhere from an NES up to the Wii U, the Game Boy up to the 3DS, because we have now inducted the 3DS into the mystery history realm. So Mick's been playing a game.
So it could be Miles and Kilo.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that'd be so funny.
Yeah. That would be funny.
That'd be amazing.
The guy that sent this game over to the 3DS is strikingly handsome. And we're like,
Let me just quickly change my clues.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Mick's been playing a game. Perry and I guess we're going to alternate here on questions, right? Is usually how we do it when we got multiple peeps.
That's right.
So I will start us off here because that makes it nice and easier for me. Because I'm going to say, Mick, is this a cartridge-based video game?
Yes, it is.
Boom.
All right. Very good. So that doesn't really
narrow
it down that much.
I've done my job, Perry.
So it's not GameCube or Wii is what you're saying, or Wii U. All right. Beautiful.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Mick, is this when this was released, was it primarily on a handheld, or was it on a handheld system? This version, what you're talking about.
Yes, it was.
Okay. So, because remember, wasn't Space Station Silicon Valley, wasn't that on Game Boy Color as well or something like that?
Yeah, that was released a bit later. Yeah,
that's so cool. I want to get that game. It's like a side-scrolling game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably not, I don't know if it's good or not, but it still looks cool.
It was pretty good. It was, all the levels and the missions were based on the full console game, which is
that's
pretty
so
impressive
cool.
Going from 3D to 2D and still keeping the content.
That's amazing. Okay, so we know it's on a cartridge and it's handheld.
All right, all righty. Is this... Is the game... Is the console this game on include the words Game Boy?
Yes.
Trying to cut it in half here. All right.
Nice. So it's not the DS or the 3DS.
So it's either Game Boy, Game Boy Color, or Game Boy Advance.
Color. That's right.
And that's three questions.
Okay. All right. My fourth question. Is this on the Game Boy, the original Game Boy?
Yes, it is. You're getting yeses for all these questions. Man. Just pick a game,
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a yes man.
Is it Tetris? No.
All right. So this is the last question before the first hint. I'm going to say, is this a Nintendo-developed video game?
Once again, the answer is yes.
Woo!
I don't think
we've ever hit like five yeses in a row.
No, I don't think we have either. Beautiful.
Life is
new
good.
Record. Life.
Well, I gave you such a toughie last time. I might just be saying yes and then making
tough.
The game up as I go along.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like we just guess whatever it is, and you're like, yes,
well,
yes, it is.
It was exactly that.
Yeah.
Okay, so your first clue, and good luck if you get it from this. A third-party company actually produced a wristwatch based on this game as a sort of promotional thing.
Ooh.
And the wristwatch featured the game. You could play it.
What?
Weird. All right. Well, it's your question, Jerry, I believe, right? Or is it mine?
It's Jerry.
Okay. Does this feature an important Nintendo? I mean, a popular Nintendo character?
Yes, it does.
All right, boys.
Six in a row, baby.
I'm going for the Hail Mary here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Is this
Donkey
Kong Land?
No, it is not.
Oh, I ruined the streak.
Donkey Kong Land. Why would it? How could that be playable on wristwatch?
Well, I figured maybe it'd be some sort of mini game where you're swinging from the ropes or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In a very Game
Actually,
and Watch.
Actually,
way
that does sound like a rare thing to do, you know, like you know, like It's a yellow, you know, watch, and you can play Donkey Kong on it.
I guess I asked if it was developed by Nintendo, and yeah, this is a rare swing and a miss.
Well, that's Nintendo. I mean, I guess that's true.
Potato.
I'd still call that a Nintendo game. All right, my turn. Thank you for ruining the streak.
Well, now we're on a new kind of streak, Perry.
A losing streak?
Keep it going.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's an easy one to do. Okay, a wristwatch. Okay, so it's not Donkey Kong Land. Let's see. What I'm thinking it could be, like honestly, like what you said, Casey, it could be the Game & Watch Gallery. You know what I mean?
Mm, and that would be a game real that you well could play. For, yeah. Well,
and since
keep this train
Smash,
alive, baby.
Since Smash, you know, he is kind of a popular, and he has his own amiibo, so that puts him into popular Nintendo character territory, I'd say. So, is this a Game & Watch Gallery game?
I'm going to answer that with a question. Did that actually come out on Game Boy?
It did. Game & Watch Gallery?
Yeah. Was that not DS or later? Well, the answer's no, but...
Yeah. No, it came out actually on Game Boy, and I think Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance.
I never knew about that.
Yeah, I see Game & Watch and Gallery, there's like Game Watch, games in one.
Right.
For the Game Boy.
And there's actually... But there's like Game Watch Gallery 2 and 3 and like Game Watch Gallery 4, I think on the GBA. And then it came out with one for like Club Nintendo, like, you know, that was the DS one.
Yes, yeah.
Anyway. All right, well...
Okay, so that's not it.
All right, shouldn't Perry's I? Keeping the streak alive here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, is this a platformer?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. All right. That was a sort of a hesitant little, yes.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's more of a puzz form, Casey, you know?
Ooh.
Let's see. Like, I mean, I'm thinking like Donkey Kong. Because it could have been Donkey Kong. You know, not Donkey Kong Land, but the true amazing Donkey Kong game on... Actually, Donkey Kong Land is amazing on the Game Boy. It's one of the most amazing feats in the world that they got that game to play. But Donkey Kong, the, you know, Donkey Kong 94.
The OG.
Yeah. Does this... Well, I guess I could ask if Donkey... Okay, it's a platformer. Is Donkey Kong in it?
The character Donkey Kong? Uh-huh. As opposed to the word Donkey Kong in the name? Yes.
Ooh,
yeah, the character Donkey Kong.
All right. Is this Donkey Kong 94?
What, you don't want your second clue?
Did Casey
get it right and Perry not? Oh-hoo-hoo!
Hold on. Was that the 10th question?
Yeah, you just asked the 10th question, so it's clue time.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Casey, you're a bit premature.
So I didn't get it right?
Hold on, Casey, let him do the clue.
I have not heard
ask.
Him... No, that was... I was asking the 10th question, no?
No. You asked the first one, so you're on the odd questions.
Oops. Oopsie poopsie.
So are you just getting excited, getting ahead of yourself? I understand it happens.
Oopsie poopsie.
All right.
Okay. So I'm going to switch my clues around here. This was first published in 94.
Oh.
All right, my turn, right?
So go. Yes, go for it.
Is this Sushi Striker? We love you, Bibs.
We do love the Bibs.
No, is this Donkey Kong 94?
Yes, it is. I was tempted to say no.
Oh, baby.
Oh, man.
What a beautiful... This is
just
one of my favorite
Game Boy
games.
That I'm better than Perry at this game.
Do you know when I first...
You can be better at me. You're the champ.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, what'd you say, Mike?
I was going to say, the reason I picked it is I remember when I first got this game, I had absolutely no idea what it was, other than obviously I've played Donkey Kong in the arcades. I know what Donkey Kong was. And I thought this was just a Game Boy version of the arcade Donkey Kong. So then...
That's exactly what I thought,
after
too.
Clearing those first four levels, and then it's like, hold on, what's going on here? And the... not only did it amaze me that there was more content, the quality of the game and the sheer number of levels that are then added is
unbelievable.
97 additional levels. And what I particularly like doing is because obviously you get the little tutorials, show you all the little moves that you didn't necessarily know you could do, was then going back and doing the original four Donkey Kong arcade levels, but then using those moves, so backflipping on way up to the top and bouncing barrels off my feet.
You could clear
them really easily. It was great.
Yes. Isn't that so cool?
It's absolutely fantastic.
I know.
Game.
The game is amazing. And it's so funny, Mick, that you say that, because I was going to talk about this game literally at the beginning of the show when we talked about the 3DS eShop.
Oh, really?
I was just heading into that anecdote, because this was one of the first games that released on the eShop, and I remember downloading it and having the exact same experience that you just said. I didn't know what it was. I was like, oh, it's Donkey Kong. I'm going to get it because, you know, it's the eShop and I want to buy a new game and it's just, this is fun and I love Donkey Kong and blah, blah, blah. And I played through the first four and it keeps going. And it's like, oh my goodness. And then it's the most, and it's like, oh, this is the first game of the Mario vs. Donkey Kong series.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, and it's like, this is amazing, and it truly, and fun fact about the game, this came out before Donkey Kong Country, and this is the first game that had, but this is the first game that had the necktie, and,
oh, really?
You know, he has more of that DK design, so I just say that because you kind of think of Rare, you know, you kind of think of them as being responsible for the whole redesign of Donkey Kong, but it was actually this game that really pushed it more in that direction. Mm. And it was developed by Nintendo.
It's interesting. You know what,
so I think a lot of people forget that.
You know what I always find amazing about, like, Donkey Kong 94 and even, like Pokemon Gold and Silver, right, is that it was such a time and place in the world where they could literally do these amazing things, tell no one about it, and just let you be completely shocked, right? Like, you go through, oh, it's like the arcade game, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're hit with all these different levels, you know? Or, you know, you beat Pokemon, and all of a sudden, the entire first game is in here. You're like, what? You know, like,
yes.
And nowadays, if that were to happen, people would know that before it was even revealed that the game existed, you know? Like, oh, nope, I already know about it. And it's sort of upsetting, I guess. I mean, it is what it is, right? People are going to data mine, right, and they're going to figure everything out. But
I think we're pretty spoiled.
Oh, no,
so
I know.
We kind of have.
It's cool, but like it's sort of like with like Smash Ultimate, remember? It's like they literally told I guess it's a little different because they're like, hey, every character that's ever been in here is in here. But it's one of those, like, I remember the mystique of, like, playing Melee back in the day was, like, what characters am I going to unlock and how am I going to unlock them, you know? And then it's like, oh, right. I hear Mewtwo's in the game. I hear, you know, and then people are like, you just got to leave your GameCube on overnight with an endless stock battle and let it ring up to, like, 20 hours or whatever it was. I remember that's how I got Mewtwo, but...
That's
but it's
amazing.
Just funny that, like, there is no secret, you know? And I mean, there are obviously small little secrets, but you're never going to get knocked off your feet sort of like you were with a game like this or the Pokemons, you know?
Well, if I may spoil something here, if you beat Miles and Kilo in less than 28 minutes, it unlocks Super Miles and Kilo 64.
Mm.
Don't know if you guys knew that.
I definitely didn't know that.
Nick didn't know
much
that,
to
so,
my
yeah,
surprise
look at how secretive it is. The programmer didn't even know, but anyway, yeah, no, I agree, but great pick, Mick.
Why, thank you.
Great pick, Mick.
Let's go on a picnic.
I love Donkey Kong 94. That really is one of my, I mean, that Mole Mania, Super Mario Land 2 and 3, you know, those are like, that's top tier Game Boy. Pokemon
Wario Land, Land 2.
Oh, baby. Wario Land 2. Oh, yeah. Oh, baby. So good. Yeah. Yeah, I need to play through Wario Land 2. I just played through Mario Land and Mario Land, Mario Land 2 and 3, you know, in Wario Land, you know. So I need to play through Wario Land 2.
Yeah.
I really like that first Wario Land the best. I really like how it's not really, like the Metroidvania type stuff that they kind of introduced. I don't know. I kind of like the just level based and kind of going through and the wackiness. But
I like the way it gave you the map at the end that showed you all the routes that you missed in Wario Land 2.
Oh yeah. That is cool. Yeah, and there's some of that kind of weird stuff in the first one too, where like if you'll find these, you know, every level or every other level or something has a hidden thing that you have to bring a coin to. And it's so hardcore because it's really hard to get, like, first of all. And then if you get a game over, then you lose one of the things that you collected. So you have to go back and collect it again. Mm. It's pretty crazy.
Punishing.
Anywho, yeah, it's punishing. Mick, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
No problem.
And talking to us about all your stuff. Remember, to everyone should grab their Switch and their Vita and their 3DS and their Xbox.
And their PS4s.
And PS4. And their PS5s. Mick just got his PS5 dev kit.
Yep, he's got the new controller that was revealed a minute ago.
Yep, he's got it. Yep. And download.
I got three.
There you go.
To go along with that big
download
box
Miles
Vita
and
games.
Kilo. How much is Miles and Kilo on the 3DS, by the way?
In America, it's $7.99, same as pretty much every other platform.
That's a bargain. It's a bargain.
Yeah, it really is a super, super fun game and well worth checking out. And we're not just saying that because we like Mick. Because we don't like Mick.
Yeah, no, we're not.
I kid.
That's hilarious. No, but we're going to say goodbye to Mick. And when we come back, it's the eShop Roundup. See you, Mick. Thanks for coming on.
Poodle. Wait, real quick. Hey, Jerry. You didn't let him pimp his wares.
Skirrup.
You perv bag.
I didn't let him pimp his wares. I pimped him for him. I said, download.
Did you tell? You say, where can we find you on Twitter?
I am at Four Horses Games. So F-O-U-R and horses, the normal
we
way.
We didn't make
spelled.
The joke.
Oh.
We didn't make the joke. So Mick is all
That's
four
right.
of the horses.
No, I'm just two Mick. Of them now, remember?
Oh yeah, that's right. So you're just Mick and Mac. Who are the other ones?
Patty Whack.
Sue and something else that begins with S.
Sue and Moo, baby.
Gotcha.
Yep. Sue with an
that's
S.
right, because she's. There you go. So he's just two of them. So, and it's funny because there is Mike too, like Michael Burns.
Yeah, we've got.
But he's not really part of War Horses.
Annoyingly,
that's funny.
In my day job, we've got a Michael and a Mick on top of. Me as well in the same office.
Oh my goodness.
So irritating. Although one of them's leaving soon. We've terminated his contract, so that's all right.
Are you gonna, once
Perfect.
He's gone, you can buy
purely
a big party.
For that reason.
Finally!
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mick. You have to go. It's just annoying having both of you here. I'm sorry. I know you moved here with your family, and you know.
There
but
shall
just,
be
go,
one
so.
Mick, and that is all.
There shall be one Mick.
The other, the other Michael at work technically is Michel anyway because he's French.
Mm.
Oh, that's amazing. Michel, Mick, Mac, Mike, Muck, Muckluck. All right, perfect. So yeah, at Four Horses Games, check out all the people that got free 3DS downloads because they're cool and they listen to Talk Nintendo and they retweeted that thing. Check out all their how much fun they're having and then go download it yourself and help support a nice developer and a nice world that we live in, which has the 3DS in it.
Mm, just think of the stereo stuff.
And also buy it on Switch.
3DS, baby.
And I think that PlayAsia still has the physical version of it available.
They've got a few copies left, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're lucky, you can get it and be cool like me, or you can be stupid like Casey. So it's just, you know,
your pick.
That's not just Miles and Kilo, it's Miles and Kilo and Kid Trip on a single cart with a special menu in there so you can switch between them without having to shut the game down.
Mm, that's
the
beautiful.
Old double whammy.
And it's all worth it just for the Kid Trip. So Miles and Kilo is a bonus or vice versa. great set of games. Remember those challenges we did? That was so much fun, Casey.
Oh yeah. And I smoked
I remember
in
who
everyone.
Won those. Did you smoke me?
If I say it with confidence, it sounds good, right?
Yep.
That's right. Cool. Okay. I think now we have successfully pimped his wares.
The wares have been pimped.
Well and truly.
All right. Thanks. Thank you so much, Mick. We'll see you
no
next
worries.
Time.
No worries. Bye now.
Thanks, Mick. Alrighty then, we are back, Mr. Jerry. We had to send Mick packing.
Yeah, we did. He was just too good. You know, he was just too jolly.
Yeah, too jolly. I was going to say the equilibrium of the podcast was thrown off, throwing in such an honorable man onto the podcast. You know.
Yes, exactly.
You've got you and me, exactly. A couple of degenerates. And then you've got Mick, who's just like an angel among men, you know, there he is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's gone, but we are not, and we push on. And the people might be asking, what comes after what we've been playing, Perry?
Usually, I think it's a nice, juicy musical break, and then the eShop roundup.
Boy, howdy, you were right, because it is my week to edit, so you know it's a hefty
hey,
musical.
Hey. By the way, last week I did put some hefty musical breaks in because I do like them. Those might be a mainstay.
You're getting swayed. Well,
you're
probably doing it just because you're like, well, now everyone knows who's the good editor. I only kid.
That might be part of it. That might be part of it.
No, I tell you what, man. It's just for me, and I know this is a quick aside here, I love music from video games. Obviously, you love music. We all know that. But like to me, just what I love about music from video games is that it could literally just be any genre, like anything. You know what I mean? The spectrum is so wide. I love it. And then it's also fun to like try and like be like, all right, what random game from my past has good music that's really obscure? You know. Like, I try and pick, like, really random games. Like, Feel the Magic. That was a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you remember that one. Did you ever play that for the DS?
No, that never appealed to me.
That was when I was hook, line, and sinker buying. I was the Jerry Jerkum of, like, 2004, you know? I was like, I'm buying them all.
Yeah, but did you have shopformegastore.com/Jerry Jerkum?
No, I did not. I had to go to GameStop/buy my house.
EB Games. Electronic Boutique, you mean?
Well, we had GameStop. We did have an EB. That's where I used to, because I remember there was an EB Games in the mall, and the mall was further away from me. So when we go to the mall, it had a KY or KB Toys. You remember that one?
Heck yeah.
It had a KB Toys on one end, and it had... it had EB Games on the other end, and then there was a Burger King in the middle of it. And this was back in the days when I was like, "Ugh, Burger King, I want McDonald's."
Really?
I was a little poophead,
really?
You know? Yeah.
I was definitely the opposite. That's funny. No, I was
during my
McDonald's,
Coke days
I want
too.
Burger King.
Well, yeah, those were my Coke man. Days too. No. As in Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. I was not a hyped up like 13-year-old drug addict or anything. But yeah. And then they both closed down.
Yeah.
The EB turned into a GameStop, and then I don't think the GameStop's there anymore, but I could be wrong. And that Burger King, history. Mm-hmm. Then it was McDonald's, and that was a weird mall, dude. A lot of turnover in that mall. A lot of turnover. But
we all have mall.
We're talking eShop.
The new eShop Roundup. Yeehaw!
We are talking eShop, and I have two picks.
Ooh, you got a double feech.
Yeah, I do, and this next one is because I just saw it, and it is weird for the sake of weird, and that is this game that's called Wurr Room. W-U-R-R-O-O-M. Everyone should just check this out, okay? I guess it says experience a 10-minute dive into the unknown depths of the multiverse. So this is 99 cents. I guess it's 10 minutes long. And it's incredibly weird. So like in the thing it says, "Wait, am I just a hand, or am I the leading force behind all this, the one that could shake the core of this strange place?" But you should check it out, because it's like everything is handmade and clay animated.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures now.
And
it looks
and it's all colory.
I would categorize it as trippy.
Trippy, weird, yeah. Basically, Cassidy Gorbin's dreams.
That's sort of the noise my dreams make, apparently. Gotcha. All right, me, on the other hand, I've got a little game called Rascal Fight for $11.99 from the fine folks over at Coconut Island Games. This is a casual battle arena brawler with a magical twist. You'll play as a rascal running wild in an environment filled with contraptions where you battle it out against opponents. So you can have up to four people on the same system here playing. Let's see. Local multiplayer. I don't see online, but that's all right. But yeah, it looks like it could be a fun little
cool looking game.
Fun little multiplayer game. You know, if you have some friends over. Well, I know right now not the best time to have friends over, but if you live with your family or live with, you know, some people and you play some games, and it looks cute, you know. And that is $11.99
because it's a bunch of kids like beating up each other to like a bloody pulp.
T for teen. Maybe that's just actually ketchup from the hamburger that guy's holding.
Okay, that could be it. Sure.
Because I don't see, I do see blood in that one screenshot, but I don't see it anywhere else.
I know. Do you have anything else?
But yeah, it looks like a cute little fighter.
It does. Did you pick another game?
Nope. I went solo dolo.
All right, I just want to call everyone's attention to this really funny release. Cool release, but funny too. And just... which is the Batman, the Shadows. Oh, I just made it even smaller. The Shadows Edition, and the Batman, The Enemy Within, Shadows Edition, which I believe is literally a remake of the game, but just with no color, with just black and white and red, which is really interesting.
It's moody,
but it's really
now.
Funny to make that instead of making that like a an option. I love how they went for like just releasing the game, releasing it at a smaller price, $16.99 each. I think it's like $30, I think, normally. It actually does kind of seem, I think that it'll make, the colors in the game weren't that good to begin with, which is funny. I remember I reviewed the first game and I loved it, actually. I loved the game. And the only thing that made me not love it was it was unplayable at the end. And I had played through the game three times, I should say, 45 minutes long before it crashed on me twice.
I remember that.
Just the worst. So, but anyway, I wonder if they cleaned it up and stuff. I remember emailing them and asking about, and they didn't care at all. So, and that's probably when they were like realizing that the whole company is going down something.
We've got an email here, but we've got a solution. Let's re-release the game, but in black, white, and red. All right.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess I wish they would have done that at the beginning. I think it's kind of a cool idea. It fits the Batman narrative. But anyway, so you can get both of them each for $16.99. There ye go.
Bam.
And I think that'll do it. Now, I think that even though we did have Mick on, I think we're still having a shortage of British people.
We are.
So,
we are.
Let's hear from our friend Ben over at the Switch Island.
This is Ben from the Switch Island, and you filthy, disgusting perverts are listening to the true and tried sounds of the Talk Nintendo podcast. Put it on the calendar.
Alrighty. Good old Ben, the good old Switch Island folks, definitely a really good podcast that you guys should all check out. They're really good, good dudes over there. Fun podcast, lots of really great content, and the Switch Island, definitely worth a check. But, Perry, I know you were talking about we need more Brits.
We do.
Is there another one on deck?
I believe so. Yes, our friend Matt from Nitrome, which is the...
I thought it was Nitrome.
No, our friend from Knights Rome talking about Gunbrick, their new game, and we talk a bunch about other stuff. Well, actually, I don't know. We haven't talked about him yet. Wink, wink. We haven't had this conversation yet. So let's let him in.
Let's get him.
He sailed across the sea. See, they wouldn't let him go on the airplanes, right?
He swam. So, boats aren't going either.
He swam. He swam. So, all right, let's go talk to Matt, and that'll be that. Okay, and we are back here with a very special guest. We have Matt Annell from Nitrome. Hello, Matt. How's it going?
It's going great. It's going great. How are you guys over there?
Oh, well, the weather, you know what? It snowed yesterday over here.
It snowed.
Pretty crazy. Yeah.
It's nice,
there's still
nice
snow
and
on
sunny
the ground.
Here. We're planning a very small barbecue, like with no guests.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. An
the
indoor one.
Barbecue. Yeah.
Honestly, anything to shake things up. Anything just to make things a bit different.
Yeah. It's crazy. Exactly. Perry sent me that picture of the snow, and it's been like 85 by me, and I've been wearing shorts and t-shirts. It's ridiculous.
It's cold here.
Yeah, it's pretty nice here. Although I think it did snow about a week ago, very, very briefly. It didn't really land, but there were snow flakes. So. And now we're kind of going, barbecue, so quite different in the space of a week.
Right. Well, Matt is here from, like I said before, Nitrome Games, which you should know them from, because from Nintendo, they released the unbelievable Bomb Chicken. That was in, when was that, 2018 or 19? Was that 19? It was 18, right?
18, yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like so long ago. I remember being so hyped when that we saw it on the direct, right? And then Perry, you got a chance.
It looks so juicy. Yeah.
Yeah, we were thrilled to get in that. And really, that's what led us to get the deal going with Shovel Knight, because the guy seemed to see it off that, and then they got in touch. So.
Well, I was going to say, and we'll get to Shovel Knight Dig in a second, but the... Yeah. Switch world...
It actually just came out on mobile, so if anyone fancies playing Bomb Chicken on mobile, that they can now go and check it out on that platform too.
It's a perfect segue, because I was going to say, if you go to your mobile, if I go to my Apple store and you go to, or the App Store, and you type in Nitrome, you will find hundreds of juicy, beautiful games. And I remember the first time when I saw Bomb Chicken, I saw, oh, Nitrome. That's the first time I had heard of you. I'm not a big mobile gamer. And I looked online and I was like, whoa, they have like tons and tons and tons of games. And I was just like, and they all look like amazing. Like that was, and so that's the first thing that I kind of got from everything, was that you guys are a very high quality, juicy pixel studio with a lot of game. And then I had
we've been going quite a while, and it's weird because we keep changing industry. So like, we started off making web games, and we made I think 130 web games, and then that kind of died a death like when mobile came about. Then we were like trying to kind of like see where we were going to go next, to try and kind of save ourselves from an ultimate death of no revenue. So we tried a mobile game, and we were trying to make a PC game, and the mobile game ended up winning out. So sadly, the PC game kind of, which actually is, it was this game called Flightless, where you made magic ladders to get about, and it was actually quite like Bomb Chicken. We kind of came full circle back to kind of Bomb Chicken.
It's just an asset swap.
it is kind of similar. Like that was a game where you were like these like ducks that had like magical ladders And like, you couldn't fly in that. You could only make ladders to get everywhere. But yeah, Bomb Chicken was just, and also it was kind of in a temple, so it was kind of similar as well. And you were still a kind of bird, so it was kind of similar. But
it's like a
Bomb
cousin
Chicken
game.
Well, Bomb Chicken kind of started out, it just got more similar, but really just started out as the idea of we wanted to make a mobile game where you could play a platformer, but just with one hand. Because like all platformers, they always end up being like that you need two hands, because you need like one hand to steer left and right, and then you need the other hands that you can jump at the same time. So we're like, well, the only real reason that you need both hands is because of the jumping. So what if we got rid of jumping? And they were like, well, you still need a way to kind of like gain height. So we're like, okay, maybe we'll stack boxes underneath you. And then we're like, okay, that's cool, but now we need the boxes to disappear, otherwise they get in the way. So we popped them, and they were like, no, let's explode them. That's much more fun. And then, you know, that's basically where it was.
Well,
they had to appear underneath you, so laying them made more sense.
Well, I think this is the classic, and this is why I think that your games are shining on the Nintendo Switch, is because I think that's, you know, obviously Nintendo's big thing, putting gameplay first, right? You put the gameplay first, then aesthetic after, and everything comes together. And yeah, Bomb Chicken was and is in a fantastic game. I have it on my shelf as well from Limited Run. That was really cool
lovely.
They did that release.
Did you take it out of the plastic, Jerry?
No, because I already had it downloaded. So I reviewed it for NWR. Now we have, so we're having you on. Of course, it's really exciting that Shovel Knight, you are currently in the works of producing Shovel Knight Dig.
Yes.
And we can talk about that a little later, but the new hotness that is coming out next, well, when's it coming out?
I should really know this. I think it's coming out on the 8th.
Okay, so, the 8th. So, yeah, so probably
if I get that wrong.
Posts.
So
if by
I get
time
that wrong,
this...
all the guys are going to be like,
Gotcha. So this will be out right now by the time this episode posts.
Yep, you can pop
so,
over to the Nintendo store to be right
I'm jumping onto Twitter, and I'm checking my own facts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that does sound right.
If I get it wrong, the other guys at Nitron will be like, Matt.
You had one job.
What you say?
You had one job to tell them
one
when
job.
To buy the game.
Yeah, hype Gumbrick. Don't get the date.
But, well, while you're checking, we're talking about Gunbrick. This is the new game from you guys coming out on Switch. This
April
is your second
9th.
Release on Switch.
I am actually wrong. April 9th, I've seen.
That's good because it's still
perfect. That's when this releases.
That's when this releases. So if you're listening to this, you could go pick it up on the eShop. Easy peasy.
Please
there
do.
Oh, yeah. So... Gunbrick is this amazing game where you can see that it's from the same creators of Bomb Chicken, just because it's a puzzle platformer in one of the most, and I'm going to be gushing here just because, and this is just because I fell in love with this game because it was just, it's so satisfying. The gameplay is so amazingly simple. But it doesn't get stale. You take this core concept, which you're a box, and it's a side-scrolling, and you rocket boost from one end. So from one end, you have a rocket coming out that propels you, and you can fly up into the air if you're going up. And then it also serves as a gun. So it's a gun, basically, and a rocket on one end. And the other end, you have a shield. And that's the game. So you can protect yourself from one side. And then from the other side, you can shoot and propel. And that's mixed up into this whole game. And it's super tough, but really rewarding once you find out. And if you like the feeling, see, I would say like it's kind of like that feeling of when you break, let's say like in Mario, if you break a block, which causes a bunch of other things to break, or if you jump on a Koopa shell and then send that, and that's killing all these enemies, that satisfaction, that's what a lot of it feels like when you finally nail everything. And it's just a very creamy game. And I guess, Matt, if you have anything else to say, I'd love to, because this game did come, was this game developed before Bomb Chicken?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Actually, this is originally a really, really old game at Nitrome. It existed originally as a version. We used to make these games on our website that we called Icon Games, and they were called Icon Games because you played the whole game within the actual game icon. So it was a 50 by 50 pixel space, and we came up with, I don't know, five or six of these games. And Gunbrick was actually the first game that we made that you could play in this 50 by 50 pixel space. And it seemed like a really cute idea. So later on, we made a version of it for mobile that kind of took that further. And then this is a version of that mobile version, but then we've added on a whole extra isometric part to it. So we're often thinking, like, what would it be like if you could, like, move around in the other axis as well? And so that kind of like played in our mind as well. So you can unlock this whole kind of extra part of the game that you play around in isometric. And then actually, just for kicks, we've also included that original 50 by 50 pixel version of the game as well. So you can unlock that as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Amazing. That is, yeah. So, and I, like you said, that's the other big part that, and that is, is that new for this? Because this is called Gunbrick Reloaded. Is that what it's called? Right?
It is, yeah. Because the isometric bit's completely new. We've adjusted the levels a little bit that were in the mobile edition of the game so that you can collect these 3D levels. And then it's got like some extra bits to unlock as well, like the retro game. And there's like different, we made these kind of kooky videos to promote it originally around the mobile release that we put a lot of effort into, and they were kind of weird and cool. So we've included kind of gallery sort of part to the game as well.
Oh, sweet.
When was this released on iOS?
I don't know. I don't want to go fact checking on everything.
Just a year. Has it been out for a little while now?
Yeah, I think it was one of the first games we released on mobile, but it went down really well at the time. It was I think it was the only game that we ever did on mobile that got Apple's Editor's Choice Award.
Oh, sweet. That's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, because
And it was one of the few premium games that we made on mobile as well, because then we tended to start to make freemium games, which is a whole different beast, and sort of it changes the sort of approach of the game. So it's kind of nice to do things premium where you don't have to really consider that. And it also made it a much better fit for Switch than a lot of the titles that we made on mobile wouldn't necessarily translate, because they're too much about grinding and then having kind of shortcuts that kind of made the advertising make sense. Or
like with the freemium, it's tough because, like you said, you got to sort of balance the gameplay with the fact that, like, it's free and all that. I'd rather pay like one upfront price and just get the game as intended.
But
was this a game you knew sort of right off the bat, or like eventually, like, we want to get this on Switch because it'd be a good fit? Or was that something like, you know, after Bomb Chicken and stuff, you reevaluated, like, all right, we, you know, had some success with the Switch, like, let's get some more games on here. And then from there, it was like Gunbrick would be a good fit.
Well, I think for starters, it's like we're all big Nintendo fanboys. If you, like, look at our back catalog, you can see the inspiration of, like, anything Nintendo throughout all of our stuff. So we always, like, ultimately wanted to get something on a Nintendo, like, console. And I think that the Switch is just like, was just the right time to kind of get into that. And it matched up well with Bomb Chicken. But yeah, once we kind of like had Bomb Chicken there, we were like, maybe we should take like some of our other content there that we've like already made and kind of like put in some of those extra things that we couldn't do at the time, because like we had to kind of like manage our expectations of what we could do in a mobile release. That when we were like looking at, okay, what might be worth kind of like reevaluating for the Switch, it just seemed that Gunbrick was a good fit. So we thought it was like a nice project to tackle, get something else on Switch, see how that does. We've been really pleased with how Bomb Chicken's done for us on Switch. So
yeah, I love I just love how with Gunbrick, it's like the objective of what you need to do is very obvious, like where you have to go, but like figuring out how to move your character to actually achieve that goal. Like, I love those style games, you know, where it's like, it's you're never going to be really confused on what to do. It's just on actually how to perform it. Sort of love those kind of puzzle games because it's like you're so close. Like, it's like, oh, I know what I need to do, but then like actually finagling the character in the
right. So close
path.
Yet so far.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like
there's a lot of active checkpoints. So I mean, it's like, and honestly, it's funny because when I got the code for the game, they had mentioned, you know, that it's pretty difficult, you know, and so if you need any help, you know, we can, you know, about solving stuff. And so, you know, oh man, it must be, you know, and I could see where it is, but honestly, the game, if you kind of trust in the game's design, it's not as hard as you think it would be. That's what I love about the game. That's what the sad, and so I, that's what I'd say about that.
I don't think it's as hard as Bomb Chicken. Bomb Chicken gets a lot tougher towards the end.
Yeah, it is. And honestly,
this also gets tougher towards the end. But, you know, that's just games, isn't it?
Yeah. And I would say that, and I just need to talk about the isometric mode that takes that satisfaction to the extreme. Like those parts where, because basically it's the same. It's funny how the game works so well. I mean, it's very different just in its feel, but because it's a little slower paced. But the walking around and then that puzzle, it really is. It's like taking Mario from 2D to 3D, like a brand new different idea, but pretty different. And that part where, like, the feeling of you have to explode the ground beneath you and then fall into that is one of the most amazing feelings in the world. I don't know. Like, because you're walking around in a big, chunky, juicy, a beautiful environment. It feels so good.
Yeah, we were thrilled at how well it turned out. I remember when we first pitched it in the office, we were like, okay, we're going to take Gunbrick to Switch. Everyone's like, yeah, that sounds an awesome idea. We're like, okay, and we want to put in some extras. We're like, okay, what should we do? I was like, what about if we did that thing where we like made it like sort of isometric? They're like, yeah, like, but like, what, for a sequel? Or they're like, no, just for like extra levels. They're like, but that's like doing everything again. It's like it's a whole other engine, all the graphics from scratch. I'm like, yeah, but it'd be really cool.
Yeah,
like,
but it'd be cool, right?
When do you ever unlock things that are like sort of
completely different than the
game? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, no, that'll just be cool. That's what I want to see, and that's always what I try and push the guys to do is what they don't want to do. That means that we're on the right track.
Yeah, I feel absolutely. Like those are definitely like the most cool moments in a lot of games where it's like, yeah, they went and put a ton of work in for just this sort of small slice, but it changes it up and keeps things fresh, you know what I mean? So it really boosts the overall package. I love when developers do that. Like you said, you see a thing that looks like it probably took a decent amount of time to do, and you only see it a handful of times, and it's like, I don't know. I love when it's, yeah, they're...
Well, it leaves you wanting more.
You know?
Yeah, I don't like it when you kind of get to that point where you're like, oh, I just feel like I know the system now. Now I'm just kind of like trying to get through it.
No, it's very, yeah, it's exactly, yeah. And I do want, I mean, honestly, like I'm sitting here and I'm thinking I want a game. I want a whole campaign of these, right? Like that's like when I look at those levels, I mean, because they're pretty far, like they're far and few between. I guess I don't even really know how many levels are per world that you can unlock, but I think it's like one or two, three.
I think there's like a pack's worth of levels like spread throughout the other levels.
Gotcha. So it does leave me wanting more, and that is the feeling that I like. I mean, I definitely like finishing a game going like, okay, I'm ready for Gunbrick 2. So, and I'm ready for more of this. You know what I mean? Like that is definitely the better feeling rather than like running out. So, so back when a year or some ago, I did look up and I was referred to Rust Bucket. And that is one of your mobile games. And
it is, yeah. I would love to bring to Switch.
You have my permission because that would be unbelievable. Yeah, that would be a great game. And I'd love to see what you guys, I mean, like what that would translate to, because it's everyone should go download Rust Bucket right now. It's free. It's super fun and it's a really great mobile game, but I think it would be amazing to play on the Switch as well. I mean, there's so many, and there's like, you know, there's Spicy Piggy, which
a great name.
Looks unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it really is. You guys are a truly amazing team for your output and the quality. I mean, just from looking outward in, it is truly amazing. So brings us to Shovel Knight Dig. So you're doing a spin-off game working with Yacht Club Games, but you can tell us anything you want about that game.
Okay. They came to us kind of out of the blue, just off the back of Bomb Chicken, and I guess they kind of knew us as well, like from some of our other things, probably more from our web games, or I don't really know how exactly. But yeah, just out of the blue, they were like, have you ever considered working with someone else? Like, we know you don't really do that, but like maybe like making something Shovel Knight. And I was like, yeah, okay, let's talk. That sounds like a good plan. And yeah, it's true. We never really worked with other people's IPs before, but I think it's just about being excited about what you're going to work on. And so if the IP is right, then that's still exciting. And definitely Shovel Knight was an IP that not only like we could see that it was a successful IP, but it was an IP that we could go, yeah, that's a good match for us. We like the game. We could kind of like imagine like doing other things with it. And they were really cool like to work with. Like right from the off, they were like, look, like, what would you want to do with it? They kind of had this rough idea that maybe some sort of roguelike, and they like Downwell and Spelunky. And they were like, so maybe like some sort of like skew that is like that. So, and then we were like really pushing, kind of like digging like heavily, because we were like, you know, like you don't really dig that much in Shovel Knight. Like you have like these little piles of dirt, but considering you're a guy with a kind of shovel, you don't really do that much with it. Pushing like quite a bit on that, and we wanted to try and make the digging fast. Like a big thing that we kind of like learned from Bomb Chicken was that when you were like stacking the bombs, we wanted it to be like really, really quick, so it was like really satisfying. And we were like, we want the same thing but with digging. We don't want it to be like this slow digging. Like there's lots of great digging games out there, but typically it's quite a slow maneuver, you know, like where you kind of like take your time kind of like chipping away through the dirt and you get like a lot of management. We want it to be like the opposite of that. We want it to be like super actiony, super fast, like really satisfying to kind of like just chew through it, like really big chunks every time that you kind of like hit the button. Same sort of way as how we stack the bombs, like you jump up, satisfying every tap. So we wanted to try and get that. And that came out pretty cool, but it's been challenging too, like working with the guys at Yacht Club. Like they were, this seems really cool, but what about if we did this? And we're like, okay. All in all, we were supposed to agree on like whether we had like a game there. I think we agreed that we would work on it for 2-3 months and kind of like see if we had something we all agreed on. And that process took us about a year before we all kind of went, yes, it's definitely something. It's definitely working. But, you know, like once we kind of got there, I think that we were all super excited. I think that when we started, we thought the whole game would take a year to build.
Of course. Isn't that how it always works?
But, you know, like also, like they said, it was supposed to be a smaller spin-off. And right from the off, we were like, no, we want it to be something big. Like the game's big and we don't want to be like the company that kind of like makes this like small spin-off that everyone hates, that kind of like becomes like, oh, we like Shovel Knight, but you know, that spin-off shit. We want it to be like,
we like that, the mainline Shovel Knights. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we worked really hard to kind of like try and be like, no, we want it to be just as good as the main Shovel Knight games. And there was also like a bit of kind of, they were quite concerned, like naturally, that there are like a lot of direct synergies in the kind of gameplay. It's still ultimately got platforming in it. And that kind of like caused a lot of the kind of difficulties in settling in exactly what the game was. Like, how similar should it be? How different should it be? Mm-hmm. It was quite difficult to kind of be like, oh, Shovel Knight can't do that because in the original game he doesn't do that. And then at other times it's like, oh, well, he has to do that because it's fundamentally a different game. So it can't follow the rules of that, of the original Shovel Knight, because otherwise it breaks what you're trying to do with this different type of game. So,
yeah, it kind of reminds me and you can let me know if this is, I mean, it kind of reminds me of like Super Mario World versus like Super Mario Land 2 or like Wario Land, I should say, where it's very like, it's similar in concept and there's some similarities, but there's lots of differences, but it's like in the same world, but it's kind of like a more concise version of it. And anyway, it's something just kind of reminds me of.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it says on the tin. It's it's a similar sort of gameplay, but it's randomized. It's built to be randomized. At the same time, what we don't really like, because we've made quite a few random games on mobile, and they all kind of like follow the same thing of you kind of like get a bit kind of after a while, you start to be like, you don't have that sense of progress maybe that you would get in more linear games. So at the same time, it does have some linear qualities to it. So even though it's randomized, the actual areas that you're getting to are in a kind of linear structure. There's still bosses there. So you do get this like real sense of progress that you would get in a more linear game. But at the same time, because like a roguelike, you're always back up at the top, we need to make each time that you're replaying through that as interesting and different as possible. So that's gone down to everything. So even when you like play the boss fight, it's different every time. Like the moves and stuff are the same, but the arenas are different, and it really kind of like changes up what that boss fight feels like. So a lot of work's gone into that just to make it as different as we possibly could each time.
Very cool.
I was going to ask, how different is it for the team to work on an IP that's not yours? You know, obviously when it's all in-house, you guys have complete, you know, creative freedom to do whatever. Is it a lot of, I mean, obviously you got to bounce ideas off the guys and what they're thinking. Is that something that's taken some time to get used to, or is it, you know, are they pretty lenient where you could bring ideas to them and they're like, hey, let's just roll with it, you know, or how's that whole, workflow sort of gotten, taken some time to get used to, or?
Yeah, it's definitely taken a bit of time to get used to, but ultimately the way it seems to work is that we come up with really cool ideas, and most of the time they're fine with that. So they go in and then they come up with really cool ideas and we go, wow, this is going to take a long time, but they end up going in as well. So just all the ideas end up going in. It's just like having an insane amount of ideas and no one saying no.
I love that. That's amazing. Yeah. Yep, it sounds like there's some really good pros and then some cons as well to something like that. So that situation, but
Go.
Yeah. Oh. Well, no, go ahead.
I think that it was difficult to start off with, like, because there was lots of kind of like things that would conflict. So it was difficult to kind of like settle into a rhythm. But I think once we all knew what the game was, it's got a lot easier. And so I wouldn't say that they're hands off. They're definitely hands on, but they're hands on in things that are tied to the original Shovel Knight universe. So they really, really want to know that the knight designs kind of like fit with kind of like the other knight designs, or that they have like the same kind of sort of ideas behind that. And so they'll get quite hands on with things like that. But in other things, they can be quite hands off. So mostly the elements that go in the different zones or what the zones are, like, we come up with, and they might have some comments, they might throw in more ideas, but usually we're more controlling the kind of the majority of the content we control more.
Right. Cool. Well, I have two final questions. One is kind of a no. I remember when it really. So what are the platforms that this is coming to? I mean, the confirmed ones.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say. Like,
I don't even know what the confirmed one is. Is it Switch? Like, is it coming to Switch?
So, we've got it playable on Switch. We've got it playable on PC. We got it playable on some other things too. Gotcha. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we don't want to announce that it's going to come to something and then something happened that maybe means that it doesn't make sense for it to come to that platform anymore. So at the end of the day, we would want to bring it to as many platforms as possible. But if something happens that makes it make more sense to maybe choose a different route, then we might consider that.
Like a console exclusive or something like that for a certain
Exactly.
But so I didn't know if there was actually we'll get to a certain point. Yeah.
So because
when it was released, really I was like,
anything until we know. So, it was playable on Switch, and it's been like retweeted or whatever, pushed by PlayStation and maybe Xbox as well. So everyone wants it to come to their platforms, and we would like to put it on all their platforms. So
that's a good place to be in.
We'll see. We would like to put it out at as many places as possible.
Now, have you worked on PlayStation and Xbox?
We do have Bomb Chicken on PlayStation.
Very cool.
We do have dev kits for Xbox. Bomb Chicken is supposed to come to Xbox, but I don't know, for reasons that are beyond me, has not appeared on Xbox yet. Maybe it still will. I don't know. I'm starting to give up
hope. That'd be a cool release on Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now my second question is, when is Shovel Chicken coming?
Or no, Bomb Night?
Bomb Night.
Couldn't
you
totally see it though? Couldn't you see like, you know, the chicken waddling around in knight's armor? I mean,
I would love to get the chicken in there somewhere. Like maybe.
You got it.
It would be cool. And like, it works. Like you get chicken in medieval world. That's cool. It does work.
It's perfect, actually.
I love it.
I could imagine like a Bomb Chicken sequel with the, I mean, that also, like putting Shovel Knight into Bomb Chicken. There you go.
Well, yeah, maybe.
He's sitting there going, how does he not know about our Bomb Chicken sequel?
Yeah.
Shovel Chicken. I'm just. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on to the show. And thank you. I'm so glad we got to talk about Gunbreak. That was a very, I was really excited to, I mean, that was just a random thing when I saw it coming, and I, and it was a very, very fun surprise of how amazingly fun it was. And I have been addicted to it. It's been a very good end of the day, end of the night, like kind of been like chilling out to it and playing it before I go to bed. And it's just so much fun. Everyone should buy
it. He's been gushing.
I'm telling you, and I am reviewing it for the site, so you can check out my review, which should be out by this time for sure. So you can check that out too. I don't. Is there anything else to say, Casey or Matt?
No. Just go and buy our games and enjoy them. And,
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
and
the eShop. It'll give you something to do in the times where
and stay
where
at home.
Where people stay at home.
That's a beautiful, right? The eShop. It's you don't go out to the eShop. It's right there.
I know,
it's in your hands.
Exactly. It's right there. Beautiful. It's made for downloading.
Honestly. For Nintendo, I'm telling you, there's obviously a for Nintendo gamers like me, and I think Casey too. I'm not going to speak for anyone else, but obviously, you think of the mobile world and you think of mobile games, and I think a lot of people get a bad taste in their mouth just because it's so different in a lot of ways from Nintendo, right? And it's just a different culture. It is.
Yeah.
And I just do want to say that I all your Nintendo fans listening, which is everyone on this podcast, should go to the App Store. I guess I can't speak for, I have no idea about the Android, but are you on Android and stuff? Or?
Yeah. Okay. We have all the games are on Google Play as well.
Beautiful. Go there, type in Nitrome in the search bar and just gaze at all their games. And it's just a lot of fun. They're all amazing. It's just an amazing thing. So I say that as a hardcore Nintendo fan that doesn't really play phone games ever. Just trust me and go check them out. Yeah, they're really, really, really awesome.
We get that a lot. It was kind of weird when we announced the Yacht Club kind of connection with kind of like doing Dig, just how many comments there were there. And like the majority of comments were people remembering us from making Flash games. Barely anyone actually kind of like transitions across from mobile. into the console world. There was many, many more people that remembered us from Flash games that we haven't done in quite a few years now. So, but it was still nice, you know.
Yeah. Well, that I think it goes to a test of just your game design decisions, and they're very good. And like Gunbrick, I love Gunbrick, and that's my final gushing of this interview.
All right.
I don't want to get your head. I see your head it's about twice as big as it was before.
She'll give away that we have video feed. We're not looking at each other. It's all silence.
Is that a Bomb Chicken amiibo behind you?
on my totally blank wall. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I got this video feed. I can just kind of green screen whatever I want back there.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Matt. And you can follow Nitrome. What's your Twitter handle at Nitrome Games?
Just Nitrome.
Okay. Nitrome or Nitrome.
Yeah.
Don't say that though. Yeah. Don't say that. That's a good way to remember how to spell it. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it Nitrome. But thanks again, Matt. It was super fun to have you on.
All right, fab. See you guys.
We'll have to have you on again. Yep.
Thanks,
definitely. You anytime you want. Anytime.
But you can't hang up.
Take a breather, right, Jerry? And then we'll be back.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Bye.
See ya.
See ya.
Well, that was fun. And by the way, Gunbrick is amazing. And actually, I hope I have my review done by the time. I just got something, a very important project put in front of me. So hopefully I have it out there. I should. Check out the review.
Typical
it's an amazing game.
Mac. And what do you got to fix your
I
Mac?
I know. Yeah. Yeah, seriously, I do. No, I don't. But I wouldn't be surprised if I did. Did I tell you about when I put too much RAM in my Mac? Did I tell you about that?
No, but it sounds amazing.
This was like a few months ago. Yeah. I put 72 gigs of RAM in my Mac.
Jesus.
And it had
Christmas.
8 in it before. Yeah. You can only put 60, apparently.
I would say I almost don't blame the Mac for that one. 72 gigs? God dang, dude.
Well, it's like running Unity.
Oh, no.
And I wanted to be able to run like Unity and Logic Pro and Final Cut Pro.
No,
at the same time,
that's amazing, dude. It's just normally it's like 16, 32, nope, 76 or whatever you said.
Yeah, 72 because I got two 32 gig cartridges and then I had two 4 gigabytes today.
So
there's four slots.
So
I was like, just put them all in,
just
baby.
Pop those old ones out.
Well, I was trying to do something, and my Mac was going. It's so weird. It would just turn black.
Doesn't surprise me.
And then it kept going. Like it was so weird because like it would be fine. It started happening like only when like I put my computer in sleep, and then like it would be like every 4 hours, and then like the next day every 2 hours, and the next day every hour, and then it got to the point where it's like I can't. And obviously, you know, if that happened like three days in a row, and then I was like, okay, so
typical man. That's all I gotta say.
So I took it in. They didn't even know what to do, and I was the one. I was like, well, I did just put some RAM in. And they're like, well, that might be. I was like, well, can you put too much in? They're like, well, let me go check. You know, they didn't even know.
Were these one of these so-called geniuses?
Yes. And so I basically just needed to take some RAM out, and that was the whole thing. And I wasted like a whole day driving there and stuff. It was bad business with two Ds. What were we doing? Oh, yeah. Matt's coming on to the show to talk about Gunbrick. That's right. All right. So let's hear some Gunbrick music, and then let's talk to Matt.
We already did that, you big pickle brain.
Did we already do that?
Yeah, we just
I can't
came
even
back
remember.
From talking. You're the boy's losing his gourd.
he's out of his gourd.
Perry's
so what
like,
are we doing then?
I'm not editing.
Are we ending
week.
The
I'm
show?
I'm just going to get it all jumbly wumbly so
I'm
Casey
make
has
it.
To really work.
You know, that's something that you would do to me if you were a jerk. In real life, guys, Casey's like the biggest non-jerk. On the show, he's a jerk, but he's not really in real life.
I'm not a jerk. On the show, I'm a beautiful man.
Didn't you literally just tell Mick, like, that we don't like him?
Well, what? Am I going to lie to the poor guy's face?
Very good. Very, very good. Okay, so we're ending the show now.
Yes, yes, we are. We're bringing it to a close here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you to our awesome guests for popping on this week. We always love having people jumping on and talking games with us. You can find us over on Twitter at Talk Nintendo Pod. That is Talk Nintendo.
P-O-D.
Like the band, baby. You can also find us like on Patreon at patreon.com/NWR. That's Patreon /
NWR.
Boom shakalaka. You can find Perry's review up on YouTube at Nintendo World Report TV on all that good stuff. We've got tons of good content coming from all the folks out there, so definitely want to peep that. And
I'm not doing a video review. I think it's just a written review.
Oh, what a jerk bag. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I'm kidding.
Just, but there's still going to be lots of great content over on the YouTube channel. You can check out Perry's review, the written word at Nintendo World Report at NintendoWorldReport.com. And everyone stay safe out there. Everyone, yeah, we just we got the alert. It's like, stay home. It's like, well, thanks, South Carolina. We've only been doing that forever. Or it seems like forever.
Yep.
We're slowed down.
And you know what you could do if you're stuck at home and you don't know what to do? You could leave us a 5-star review.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! The Corona reviews, we'll take them.
We'll take them.
As long as they're 5 stars.
We'll report anything else.
Yep. It ain't right.
I didn't even check to see if we had any 5-star reviews lately.
Yep. Well, once again, thank you everyone for hanging out with us. Like I said, stay safe out there, and we will see you next week, as always, here on the Talk Nintendo Podcast.
Support your local Wingstop.
Oh, dude, that sounds unbelievable.
I know I haven't had it.
Gold save the queen! Oopsie poopsie.